Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I just want to say, brothers and sisters in Christ, that the epistle reading this morning reminds us that we are all one in Christ. We may have our favorite preachers, our favorite Bible teachers. We may have those who were so significant in our lives when we were young children. Maybe it's through the ministry of a pastor, a priest, who made known to us in a real special way who God is in Christ. And we committed our life the Lord because of that person's ministry. But the epistle reading that we had this morning reminds us that as important as these people are, if they ever stand before us as more important than Jesus, if they, in all of their glory, make Jesus stand to the side, then they become a stumbling block. So let us thank God for our leaders. We thank God this morning for our new Metropolitan Joseph, who promises to be a very gifted and good leader for us in the Antiochian Orthodox Church. And for our Bishop Anthony. But remembering always that their ministry is to glorify Christ. And if we really love these people and wish to honor them, we will honor Christ through a life dedicated to God. The gospel reading this morning is very interesting in the way it is placed in the 14th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Really, there is a contrast here between Herod and Jesus. And what we see is a power. On the one hand, we see power that is abused. And that's with Herod. And on the other hand, we see power that is used in compassion to help us. Remember the story of Herod. By the way, this story occurs right before our gospel reading. It was Herod's birthday, and he put on this great feast. Jesus put on a feast right after. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? That was Jesus' feast. But Herod put on this great feast, wanted to celebrate. And obviously there was drinking involved, and he was feeling good. He said, you know, and he was moved by the dancing of his stepdaughter. Everyone was just, you know, in a drunken stupor, most likely. And Herod said, oh, you know, by the way, Yaga, by the way, my beautiful daughter here, you know, I'm so moved. Tell me what you want. Up to half of my kingdom and it's yours. And you remember the story. She went to her mother and you know, Herod told me I could have anything I wanted. Asked for the head of John the Baptist. So she went back. And Herod may have felt bad. Oh, shucks. But he ordered that John the Baptist's head be put on a platter and given to this young man. Power. With pride and corruption. That led to death. In this story, we see Jesus. He has already been portrayed as not only a great prophet, but one who with power can even cast out demons. And he teaches with power. He heals the sick. And now, in compassion, he feeds the hungry. And he gives life. So we see in Jesus power and compassion. Quite a contrast to the story we had just read, and we didn't read it this morning, but it's right before our gospel reading. Herod and his power that led to death. You know, we read that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that certainly is true without the superabundance of God's grace and love in our lives. You know, I didn't know I was going to refer to this when I watched it this week, but I watched the documentary on King Henry VIII. Anyone know the story of King Henry VIII? What a powerful man. He stood 6'3", I think they said, a lot taller than the average, which was 5'8" or 5'9". And he was handsome. He used his power in such a way that it just glorified himself. One of the first things he did was he got married to this beautiful bride. He loved her for many years, for I think it was like 13 years or so. But she didn't give birth to anyone, so he had no one to take the throne behind him. And so he wanted to divorce her. So he said to his favorite bishop there, the cardinal, he said, you know, go to the Pope, tell him I want a divorce. You know, he's a powerful man, King Henry VIII. And the cardinal went to the bishop. Please, you know, you got to give Henry VIII his divorce. He's a good man. I mean, you know, he's powerful. And he could not convince the Pope to give him a divorce. So what did King Henry VIII do? Does anyone remember? This is history. This is epochal in history. He said, forget the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to start a new church here in England. And that was the beginning of the Church of England, with under Henry VIII. My goodness. Put a little power in his hand. Look what he did. And then later on, he had another, I think it was two of his wives. I believe he had six wives. And I know at least one, I think two of them had their heads chopped off.
It's divorced, beheaded, died, divorced, beheaded, lived.
Oh, that's where it goes. You got the story. The last one did live, outlived him.
Yeah.
She was a nice woman. Anyway, two of them then were beheaded. Because, one was a rumor that she had been unfaithful, the other definitely she had been unfaithful. But power led to corruption. And death. Now, Jesus sees a need with the crowd, and the disciples were rightly concerned. You know, it was common that disciples of rabbis would be in charge of the money and of the food. And so Jesus says, you know, these people are hungry. The disciples said, the people are hungry. You've got to send them home, Lord. Send them out to the villages. They're getting hungry. It's the end of the day. Send them away. And Jesus says to them, he says, well, you feed them. And they think, oh, that's funny, Lord. You know better. By the way, you know, we're in charge of the food here. We've got, I forget how many. They've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yes, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish. How can we feed this multitude? Of course we can't. And you know what? Jesus may have thought, you folks know your Old Testament pretty well. Didn't God ever do a miracle of feeding in the Old Testament? Who? Can you tell? There are several of them. What is one that comes to your mind?
Elijah,
yes. Okay? And there's another one. Moses? Remember, fed with manna, yeah? He fed the people, and he struck the rock, and water came out to give them drink. Miraculously got fed. And then Elisha, too. That's one that's a little less known, but that one was a lot like this feeding, where the disciples of Elisha said, you know, we've got these loaves of bread here. And Elijah said, well, you go feed these, I think it was 100 horsemen that had come. Elisha, you feed them. Elisha, we don't have nearly enough. We just have these loaves of bread here. He said, the Lord told me, you feed them, and you're going to have some left over. It's just like this story. And so they went out, okay, and sure enough, miraculously, there was the multiplication of the loaves, and there was leftover. So here we have the same one. We have the new Moses. We have the great prophet in Christ. He is the fulfillment of all of the prophecies and all of the life and teachings of the Old Testament saints and Moses, Elijah, and Elijah. There's something else I want to point out here. I tried to read it this way when I was reading the gospel this morning. Did you notice the Eucharistic language that Jesus used? Let's see if I find it here. Jesus, okay, they said to him, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them here to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. That's just what we do in the Eucharist. That's what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. Very definitely Eucharistic language. This isn't just the miracle of Jesus feeding people who are hungry and satisfying their stomachs. This is an example for us. It's a precursor for how Jesus is going to feed us to life eternal. And he does this through the Eucharist. This is a Eucharistic blessing. So we should see here how Jesus feeds us, how he gives us life, and uses his power to give life. We say, well, how can he feed us and really make any difference in our life? How can he give us eternal life through bread and wine? Come on. And there's a lot of people today who, like in Jesus' day, like even in such a Lord, you can't do this. It just doesn't work this way, Lord. And you know what? It reminds me, there are 4 Gospels, aren't there? The 3 Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then there's John. This is the only miracle of the feeding where you find it in all 4 Gospels. And it's in John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, that we find this same miracle recorded. And I want to just move there real quickly a minute, because there we find something very interesting. It's a warning to us. It's a warning to all of us who want to take light and say, well, you know, Lord, you can't. We can't really believe that you make this your body and blood for us. It's incredible. That would be a super abundant miracle. And this is what Jesus said in verse 26. After the feeding, this is the miracle that's recorded in John chapter 6. And Jesus said, Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. He's talking to the multitude who followed him back to the other side of the sea. Remember when he left, we went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This great crowd went over. They went, oh, we like this Messiah. You know, maybe he can feed us whenever we're hungry. He can do all kinds of miracles for us. He can heal us. I'm sure he can set up the kingdom and he can throw those Romans in the sea like those pigs. We want this Messiah. And then Jesus said to them, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to life everlasting. And then we go on. In this gospel, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who eats me will never hunger, and he who drinks me, my blood, will never thirst. It is my, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part in me. Do you remember what happens at the last of this chapter, chapter 6 of John? It says the disciples are not just the 12, but said, people were offended. They said, how can we eat your flesh and drink your blood? Yeah, there it is. Unbelief. And Jesus said, if you don't, you have no part in it. Remember? And then it says the disciples, when they heard this, they said, and I'm quoting here, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And then Jesus started to thunder. And then it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why? They didn't believe in Eucharist. They did not believe that God could take simple things like bread and wine and transform them into communion with his own flesh and blood to life everlasting. Do you believe he can do that? That's why we're here this morning. We believe it. You know, when God called Moses, Moses said, Lord, who am I? You know, what can I do? And he said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Oh, Lord, what can I do? And how am I going to tell him that you sent me? How are the people of Israel going to know? How are they going to honor me? How are they going to respect me? He said, what do you have in your hand? Remember Moses? Exodus chapter 4, the first few verses. What did Moses have in his hand? He had the staff. And God said to him, take that staff and do what with it? Throw it down on the ground. So threw it on the ground, and what happened? It became a snake. And then God said, okay, now pick it up by the tail. That's the dangerous part. Pick it up. And it became a snake again. God used what Moses had, a simple staff. And he performed miracles. That same staff, remember when they left the Pharaoh and his army? And the armies of Pharaoh and the Egyptians were on the pursuit. They were going to get them because Pharaoh changed his mind and said, you guys are coming back here. Remember, they came to the Red Sea. And there's Moses again with that staff. Now God said something else. Take that staff, Moses. And what did he tell Moses to do with the staff? Okay, right. The water. And what happened to the water? It divided, and they walked through it. God took what Moses had, and he used it for his own glory. God takes what we have, and we bring our bread and wine to him, and he transforms us. He saves us, just like he saved Israel. Now, there's one more thing that I want to say about this miracle. There are two things. So this really is a foreshadowing of that great messianic banquet. When Jesus comes again, Jesus is going to feed us. And it's going to be the most beautiful banquet, beautiful feast. God in all of his power, using his power in compassion to bless us. That is something we look forward to. We look forward to that second coming when in his glory he's going to do this again in a real special way. And he does the miracle. And he continues that for us today. Now, this is a little personal thing. But I found it in one commentator. He said it too, so I'm going to say it. You know, maybe I grew up in a tradition where my mom and dad said, you don't throw your food away. We've got these hungry folks in Ethiopia and Africa and all over the world. And you take what you put on your plate, you eat it. We don't throw food away. You know, what did Jesus say at the end of this miracle? Did Jesus say, oh, you know what? There's so much food around here. And I can do whatever it takes to make more. Don't worry about it. Just throw it, you know, throw the garbage. Do whatever you want with it. He said, make sure you go around and with your baskets, you collect what's left over. I think there's a point there. That God does not want us to waste his good gifts. And if we're blessed by God with superabundance of these things, the food, whatever, clothing, whatever it is, Don't be waste. It's a sin to waste God's gifts. You can take that and do with it what you want. But I believe that it's true. And you thank God for his gifts. So you know, at the end of the Eucharist, we're very careful. We, the priest and the deacon, they consume the gifts. God has given us gifts throughout our whole life. Use them to his glory. And let's not be wasted. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.